Alrighty, welcome to 1431 Podcast. This is Zach. I have Shelly here. She is one of our latest graduates, and we're excited to hear what she has to say about her testimony and what God's done in her life. Shelly is also working with us here at LSI, and so she's been a blessing through that and a blessing through many other ways and talking to all the people that she pours into and stuff. She really does love her testimony and love her God. So welcome, Shelly.
Thank you.
All righty. So we're going to kind of start from the beginning to see Shelly came by. She was here for a year, right?
Yes, correct.
And so kind of share with us, what was your life like before coming to LSI?
Before I came to LSI, I was just very hopeless. Just lived getting up, going to bed. No goals, no hope, feeling very unloved.
Okay. Shelly's son is one of our board members, so that's kind of how he introduced us to Shelly. And what was your relationship like with your kids and seeing like husband, any of that type of stuff?
I had been divorced, and so I felt like a failure in a lot of things. My relationships with my children were dysfunctional, and a lot of that had to do because I was drinking to hide my feelings of failure. And so it did hurt my relationships with my kids. But Aaron is the one that really told me, "Mom, I'm on the board. I know this program will benefit you." I was skeptical, but at the point, I just thought, I'll try anything.
Okay.
That's what brought me here.
So were you at that point where you were giving up, or were you at that point where you're like, I want to survive this, I just don't know how type deal?
I just gave up.
Really?
I had no hope for anything. I had totally given up.
So this was just basically the story of a son doing whatever he could to rescue his mom.
That's correct.
Gotcha. And so what about your other kids? Which kind of relationships did you have with them?
None. I didn't. I've got a middle daughter, Rebecca. She and I have a good relationship, but the rest of the children didn't. They didn't like that I came here, and they just kind of turned their back on me because I did.
Okay. So your main struggles was alcohol, one of them. But was it the alcohol or was it the depression that was the main?
Depression. Depression was the very main.
Yeah. And so the alcohol was basically your medication to deal with it.
Very good. Okay.
Wonderful. Well, I'm glad that we're no longer in that spot. Mm-hmm. So what was your relationships like with church and any type of religious organization? I know Aaron, he's the pastor of a church. I don't recall what your relationship with that church was before coming to...
I had no relationship with church. I lived up in Sepulpa, Oklahoma. I never did really get involved with a church there. I had started going to a church when I first moved to Sepulpa, but they really hurt me, so I just pulled out totally. And at that was part of the failure I felt. There was just a series that was at the time of divorce and then the church hurting, and I just felt failure. So that was part of the depression, what started so bad.
And so you did, if I recall right, you did go to get some mental help through a I would say maybe a secular program, correct?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes.
And how did that benefit you or not benefit you? What was your feelings on that?
Well, when I went inpatient for help, I didn't feel like I got really answers.
Okay.
You know, and I even felt like the teachers or the people that were trying to pour into the ones that were inpatient, they were so hurt and dealing with stuff and things in their life that they couldn't even find answers for. And it wasn't faith-based. So I had one of the ladies just tell me, I don't know the answers. I'm going through the same things. I have no answer for you.
Gotcha. What do you believe was the answer?
God.
Now looking back at it, you know.
It was God. It was finding my faith and really realizing how much God loved me. I wasn't as much a failure. Maybe I was in myself, but God didn't look at me like a failure. I believe that he looked at me like he could restore everything that I lost. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been reading a book lately because I'm in college to be a counselor, and it was talking about the faith-based side of counseling and talking about how, for one, I got a few things out of it, but one was that usually there's a sin that needs to be dealt with that maybe if nobody's putting their faith in Christ or anything like that, they're not going to be dealing with that sin, right? And that also how we go about sin. Some churches condemn it and just go after that person and treat that person poorly. And then some people ignore it. But then it said one of the proper ways to go about it is to look at it as you're going to defeat that sin to get that. That's the reason that you're in there in that situation is because of the sin. And it's not like a, ooh, we're going to convict you or anything like that. It's more of a, hey, let's rescue you from this so you can get out of that. And so it was a really touching part. And I see that a lot in your life. I see that a lot in a lot of people's lives, because really on the outside, when you see Shelly, especially when she came in, a lot of people have a different vibe about LSI as it's only for this. It's only for homeless people. It's only for, well, you would have seen Shelly walking in. I mean, you would have never thought, you'd be like, what is she doing here? You know? And she was good at kind of hiding the things that she was going through. And so she seemed like someone who had life somewhat put together. And we've had a few people that have come through and graduated through LSI that had that outside demeanor, but in life and reality, they were completely wrecked with depression or whatever they had been dealing with. And so hey, everybody, I just wanted to let you know about a podcast that is starting. It's called 1431 Podcast, and that's referring to Proverbs 14:31, which says, those who oppress the poor insult their maker, but helping the poor honors him. This podcast is going to be put on by Resurrection House, and it's going to be really just addressing the things going on in Chickasha, Oklahoma, and the surrounding areas to do with poverty, homeless, different things going on, and we'll be having different people come in from around the community to discuss things and how we are addressing them. Please tune in, 1431 Podcast. Thank you. So with your church, now you've got a church family, you've got restored relationships. I know that Aaron's so proud of you and has seen so much come from all of this. So what, during LSI, what were the top things that being in LSI helped you understand about yourself?
I think the top things was because it was faith-based and the staff actually poured in to us, you know, a lot of scriptures, a lot of love, you know, just really the first thing that I learned here was love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And I thought, I don't. I realized I didn't. And so with y'all pouring into me, I realized how important it was. I had to. I didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord. So I learned that. Another thing that I loved about LSI, you know, the classes are really good. Those really taught me a lot and poured into me. But being wanted again, when we're like a little community here, mm-hmm. and when you walk in a room and everybody's like, hey, Shelly, how you doing? You know, hey, can I talk to you a minute? Mm-hmm. And I felt wanted again. And that really was important to me. Very important to me.
Wonderful. The importance of being needed and having a accountability, really, because once those people start looking up to you, they're also looking at your life. They're looking at how you're living, and you're going to let them down if you're the one who fails. And I think that a lot of people grow to see that in the LSI program is that I fall, I'm liable for other people to
that's
fall.
Right.
And
yes.
And so that's been a huge factor the completion of the program. What brings people through it is the community here, that everybody, they feel like this is home. This isn't just a program or anything like that. This is home. And so that's been a huge deal for multiple graduates. So what were some of the struggles with, now be transparent, you know, if you got to beat me up, that's fine. But what were some of the struggles that you struggled with in LSI?
Biggest struggle that I had was, you know, because I was working full time then and then coming back and having classes and doing chores. And it was like you're busy all the time. And it's good structure, but it was a struggle. It was hard. Yeah. That was the hardest thing for me.
Gotcha.
You know.
Okay. Okay. Was there anything else that may have?
Cooking.
You know, the cooking is something that we have all observed and said, we got to figure this out, but it hasn't quite got figured out yet. But did you learn something from that, though?
I did. I mean, I knew I had 5 kids. I've cooked big, but.
And we enjoy it when you cook.
Yeah. Yeah, I learned a lot.
But I know that it gets tough. And like, even if, like, I've had discussions, it would be tough on me if I was in the program and had to go through all of that. But also what we see is you don't have time to go out and sit around and think about what you want to go do. And
exactly right.
And so, It's tough, but it's one of those things that we feel is almost a necessity.
I totally agree, because it wouldn't have helped my depression had I had time to sit, you know, at the time until I finally got over the depression. But that's what helped me get it over it.
Yeah.
So it did keep me structured.
Yeah. And you're serving.
That's right.
It's not that, like, when you're in there cooking those meals, you're not cooking for just yourself. You're cooking for 30 or 40 people.
Yes.
And all of them without you cooking, they wouldn't have eaten that night, right? And so that gives you that. And taking care of this place, we call it community service. There's chores, basically, to put it in normal terms, I guess. But the community service, it is serving. You know, it's not that you're just checking off this box. If you look at it from an extended view, you're helping provide for this place to take care of it and keep it for the next go-round.
I agree with that. I think sometimes we get our eyes off of that, you know, but it is a big poison. If we do it in as unto the Lord and put pride into it and say, I'll do the best, I'll clean this bathroom to the best, that's important. Because that is just putting pride in just doing it unto God. That's praising God.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. What were some victories in LSI?
Victories. I think the biggest victory, that one of the biggest, is that when I was talking to my case manager, Bill, this was my defining point. When I wanted to finally change. And he was talking to me and he was telling me, well, you're one of the most seasoned one here. And he was just encouraging me, don't let that set you back. And he said, you may be a little immature in your emotions, but you are one of the older here. Well, when he told me that, it just slapped me in the face. And I thought, oh, my God. And I ran, you know, I went out of the office angry, and I went to my room. But I began to see God. And I said, you know what? I had to say, it's true.
Yeah.
I was so emotionally immature. And that's when I started. I surrendered. That's the day I surrendered. I told God, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to be viewed as emotionally immature, but I am. And I want to change.
Yes.
That's when I started studying harder and calling out on God and getting a relationship with the Lord.
It's funny that you say that, because I'm trying to find the scripture I read this morning in my Bible study. It says in Daniel 12, verse 10, many will be purified, cleansed, and refined by these trials, but the wicked will continue in their wickedness, and none of them will understand. Only those who are wise will know what it means. And how many people, like, I'm not even, like, everybody has that point through LSI, everybody. And you see the ones that make it through that point.
That's true.
You see the ones that, it's tough sharing truth. It's not the easiest thing. And you know, and probably every single person leaves the office angry. And you're like, what's going to happen next? Are they going to pack their stuff and leave? Or are they, and I don't try to, like, our prayer and our hope is that when we're sitting there sharing these things, that it's right too. You know, I mean, like, that we're observing from the outside and we're seeing some things that need to be corrected. And sometimes it's hard to hear those things.
Yes.
And so I saw that this morning and I thought of that. How many people have to go through their toughest trial, even while here, and hear their toughest things.
Yes.
And that's what refines them. That's what breaks them of the mold. And so it's just interesting that you had said that, and it reminded me of that scripture. Okay, so everybody knows somebody who's needing some help, needing something in life that can really teach them something, help them get through life a little bit easier. Maybe just a partner that can tell them whenever they need to know something they're struggling with or something. Well, there's a place in Chickasha, Oklahoma called Life Skills Institute. And this is that place. You know, it is a fee-based program, but it's sober environment, it's faith-based. Teaches people how to manage their money, teaches them how to make wise choices. There's different things that it can apply to, different people it can apply to. But it has been a tremendous program. You know, everybody's got some obstacles that they've got to overcome. So this program could really help with that. Now, it is a nonprofit program. So if you're not one of those people who's needing help, but maybe you're wanting to look for a good program to invest your money in and donate to, this would be a great program to think about. If you're considering making a donation, you can go to www.lsireshouse.org. That is lsireshouse.org. Or you can send a check to P.O. Box 398, Chickasha, Oklahoma 73023. And you can just put Life Skills Institute on the check. Thank you. So now, moving forward, you have completed LSI. You're fixing to move out. So, what is your life like now? Let's actually start with, what is your goals now?
My goals, for one, to get settled in my apartment. I'm very, very excited about that. But one of my biggest goals is to be able to have my great-grandchildren, I'm starting the phase of greats, and to come and be with me, you know, and stay with me, have a relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
My other goal would be to keep ministering in my church and outreach, and I would like to learn more. My goal and what I feel the Lord is leading me into is discipling.
Yeah.
And I'm got some books on order that I'm going to start studying them, because that's what I feel like I'm being led into. So those are some goals that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. Discipling is one of the most blessed things that that's my favorite thing to do, is to disciple people. And it's challenging, but people look at discipleship in so many different ways. And the way I look at it is, you're not just teaching somebody something, you're walking with them.
Yeah.
They're walking with you, and they're able to see, hey, you're not perfect, but what do you do when you fall? You get back up and you keep going. How do you treat your family? How do you treat your kids? All of these things, they're able to see firsthand from a hopefully a biblical perspective on how to live life. And so in this ministry, you see so many people that don't know the first thing about a walk. They have seen abuse. They have seen the worst marriages. They have seen divorce. They have seen so many things that what does a real dad look like? Oh, well, to them, it's beating mom all the time and talking negative. And they're going to carry that on if somebody doesn't step up and teach them something different. A woman, she's going to see that and think that's okay. That's normal. And that's not. And so discipleship is, to me, right now, like the most important thing that people can be doing in a church. Is because church is not just for showing up and worshiping on Sunday. Actually, the Bible talks about worshiping every day. And we're far from that. So discipleship, I think, is the next best thing, is you're constantly walking with that person and loving on them.
And it is challenging.
It is. It is. And it's heartbreaking. I'll tell you from firsthand, when you pour and pour into somebody and then they make the decision to walk away, you're like, I'm done. I don't want to do it anymore.
Exactly.
But God doesn't give you that choice. You know, if you're in obedience to God, you shake off the dust and keep on going. So, talking about, what are your relationships with your family like now?
My family, especially my mother and my siblings, have seen such a big change in me.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very proud of me that I've overcome. They really didn't think I would ever come out of depression.
Yeah.
And now they're very excited because they see such a change and a joy that I have. My children, the youngest has give word to my son that she wants to see me. She misses me. So that's a very big praise. And then my oldest daughter, who we've always had challenges, she started texting me out of the blue.
Wonderful.
So I believe that this is the turning point and God is restoring my whole family.
Yeah, it doesn't change in the blink of an eye. It changes in the walk of a life, really. And so that's exciting to hear. What about your church relationships now? I know you have a home church that you love dearly. So
yes, and I love my church family, and just so excited about our church and what's going on in our church. So our relationship there is really good. I would like to just become more involved.
Yeah,
I'm trying, but my goal is to become more involved in church and see where I can be a blessing to others.
Yeah. So did you see church when you came into this building? Did you see church as important as it is to what it is now? You know, did you know that that was something you needed to work on? Or did you be like, I can live without church?
No, I knew it was a vital missing part in my life. I was saved at 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget that moment. But I never built a relationship because at that time my parents had backed out of church. And I never built a relationship. But, if I went, sometimes a bunch of your friends from school, let's go to church out of the blue. And it would just eat me up because I knew I was wrong. I would be convicted for not being in. So it's always been something I knew that I was missing. And it's vital. It's life.
Yeah.
You know, a relationship with the Lord is life.
Yeah. It hurts me and my soul whenever people talk about how church isn't important. They can still be a Christian outside of church and still be and just not. And I'm like, I don't get to judge what your faith and your Christianity looks like. But I can also say that my walk changes dramatically when I'm with my people that I fellowship with.
I totally agree with that.
You know,
we need that fellowship.
Yeah, and it's your accountability. It's your breath that you just, if you don't have that, you're walking life alone and you don't have guidance. You're just sitting there doing what you think is right. And you're further away from the Bible. You're further away. I mean, if I look at the conversations I have in my church, just on a Sunday or a Wednesday, my Bible study grows 15%, 20% than what it normally is. And I have pretty in-depth Bible study. And so the amount of people pouring into you and the importance of that has, it's to us, it's just vital. It's a gotta happen thing. And so
I agree.
We require it here. We require you to go to church. And that's just for your own health.
Yep.
Some people bite it and don't like it and don't want to do it, but it's because they are in any point ready to submit to any type of authority, not just God, just to anything. You know, they don't want to be told you're doing right or you're doing wrong. They just want to live their life. And so any type of relationship with a church is better than no relationship. I think it's vital. Well, Shelley, so how's life now? Where are you at with alcohol, addiction, depression? I mean, is it even in the...
It is not. Alcohol doesn't even cross my mind. I don't need it.
Yeah.
And because I'm not depressed. Mm. You know, do I have some downtimes sometimes?
Yeah.
Of course. I think we all have downtimes, but I don't stay there.
Yeah.
Because I just remember the love of God,
mm-hmm,
and what he's done. That's helped me stay a lot above water.
Yeah.
That's what he's
done. Yeah. You know, I've been through some secular counseling. I've been through just to learn, to observe. And when you're so, and I don't have anything against secular. Sometimes it's a necessity. Sometimes whenever someone's on the verge of killing themselves, we got to do something quick.
Yes.
But I never see true, not completion, but true fixing of anything. It's just, let's just throw a Band-Aid on this and throw a Band-Aid on that. We can alter your mind with this pill.
Yeah.
And I'm like, sometimes that's necessary, but then what? Are you teaching them anything afterwards? And so that's to us the importance of faith-based counseling, faith-based ministry, is because if you refuse to touch that big spot over there that can solve all your problems and you just want to go around it, even through counseling, they're not solving anything.
No.
I've seen people that have gone to counseling after counseling after counseling and then say, okay, well, I'm going to commit to 6 weeks with my pastor to be counseled, and their life completely changed. It's because the pastor is hitting that thing on the head,
yeah,
saying, this is what's going on, and they're able to actually say, okay, yeah, I'm on this med right now and I'm on that med, but now I can fix these things to where at least I'm not feeling like I'm reliant on that med.
Exactly.
So,
yes.
So I thank you so much for your life and your testimony.
Thank you.
You really are a blessing to us, and we're grateful that you're here on staff. And we just keep sharing, keep telling people the power of God that's moved in your life, because it's not LSI. It's not any of that. It's God being here to guide you, and we welcome that, you know. So we love you, Shelley, and thank you for your testimony, and we look forward to seeing what God does in your life.
Amen. Love you, too.
Just wanted to share with you about a nonprofit here in town. Resurrection House is a faith-based nonprofit focused on bringing individuals out of poverty. They provide case management, a warm place to stay overnight, and this is completely cost-free to the individual, and they can stay up to 3 months as long as they are behaving and completing requirements given by the case manager. But here's the thing. The program is not cost-free completely to everybody. It does cost to operate, so please consider any way that you could donate to help us provide this program for individuals in need for Christ. If you feel led to donate, you can mail your payment to Resurrection House, P.O. Box 398, Chickasha, Oklahoma 73023, or you can donate online at www.lsireshouse.org.